Hello and welcome to the Outpost Frequency, brought to you by thelastmovieoutpost.com for all of your movie news, reviews, and everything cool about film. We've got some interesting subjects to talk about tonight. Joining myself, not George Lucas, is Sean.
Xin Chao.
And Drunken Yoda.
Howdy, everyone. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I myself am filled with gravy and shame.
Yes, because of course you guys have had your Thanksgiving, haven't you?
And yes, we have. Yes, we have. We eat way too much, and then we fall asleep in front of football. It's a tradition.
And as I know that you will give thanks for everything you have, and then go and gorge yourself on Black Friday shopping.
Exactly.
Yes. To go, we are thankful for what we have, but now we must get more.
More. Exactly. It was weird because I was looking at getting a new laptop, and we don't really do the Black Friday thing over here. Some of the shops do.
You will. You're importing all our stupid cultural bullshit. You've already pulled in all the social justice idiocy, so you're going to do it.
Yeah. But the laptop that I bought about a month ago, if I had have waited, I would have saved all of 3p. Mm. For the Black Friday deal. So I don't think they know what Black Friday actually means over here.
It doesn't sound like it.
Well, there was a discount, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I was quite happy to forego the month wait
They charge you 6p more in shipping. So
yeah,
they get you one way or the other.
Exactly. So, but yes, everybody had a good Thanksgiving. You did as well, Sean?
Yeah, it was not bad. You know, I ate a lot. Ate leftovers, and then probably eat leftovers again today. I mean,
do you hate yourself?
I always hate myself. So okay. There's really no change.
If you don't hate yourself, you haven't eaten enough.
Yeah. He hates himself, but he's not hungry anymore. So, you know, swings around about us.
Okay.
I do feel bad for turkeys in America, because obviously you have turkey at Thanksgiving, and then you have it at Christmas as well. So, all turkeys in America.
So, well, some people, you know, expand to ham.
Oh, okay.
Or it's goose.
Turkeys over here.
Or you'll just find myself passed out under a tree surrounded by Hershey Kisses wrappers.
Yeah, the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree Hershey's, you know, the Hershey's cup shaped like a Christmas tree. That's
hilarious. Yeah, I'm so shame. Lots of shame.
I think what we'll have to do is when we get to it, is actually have a sort of Christmas movie list that we can go through as well, of all those movies that are essential watches at Christmas. I know on British TV, too, that generally always come on around Christmas, two random ones, not actual Christmas movies, but one of them is The Great Escape. It's generally always showed over the Christmas holiday.
Wait, let me guess. Flash Gordon.
No.
I'm shocked. No. Well, maybe that's Australia. That's Australia, maybe. I don't know. But I thought it was Britain. They always showed Flash Gordon at Christmas.
No, it's not a tradition here. The other one is usually The Sound of Music.
That's an Easter thing here for some reason.
What do they have to do with Christmas?
They're just shown at Christmas. It's just one of those movies that's sort of like, you know, they have all the Christmas movies and the new movies that are coming out, but they always somewhere squeeze in The Great Escape or The Sound of Music.
Well, it's, you know, it's your traditional Christmas Nazis. What's the problem here? Right?
Yeah, that's true. Britain loves to be reminded of World War II. It was like the last time they did anything noteworthy, I think. So.
Ooh, shots fired.
We'll talk about accents later. So anyway, on with some movie news.
Already now, getting salty, folks.
it's just like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's just like fighting with my family at Thanksgiving. I appreciate you bringing that back. Let's talk about Trump some more if we really want to.
He's very hangry. That's what it is. He's very hangry. There's no food left after he's indulged after the weekend.
The human buzzsaw.
With one of the movie news that we are going to talk about is Ridley Scott has got two movies out at the moment. The House of Gucci, which seems to be doing quite well, but the other one is called The Last Duel with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and Jodie Comer and what's his name? Ben Solo.
I don't know.
Oh, Aaron Driver.
Aaron Driver, that's it.
He's in both of those. He's yeah. an Asagucci, too. Oh, yeah, too. Of course, yeah. What a busy guy. So,
but apparently the house, not the, the House of Gucci, apparently the last jewel has flopped. Now, the reason for this being is given by Ridley himself is millennials. Now, actually, Sean, you were just, we were just talking about this. Could you explain to us what a millennial is? Because I had to look it up.
Without yeah, using so, the word whiny.
the cause of all of our current problems. well, it's, you know, it's a, it's a, it's the generation ooh, born. Some say it, it starts at 1980. I would argue more like 1985.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think that's reasonable. I say at the earliest 1980.
Yeah. So okay, they're kind so of, yeah.
It's you know, between, grew, am I right in saying about between about 1985 then and about 2000-ish?
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. And okay, then, so they grew on. Up in that weird, you know, they grew up with computers and the internet and being online and stuff. And so their tastes run more, you know, like they got ADHD or something. I'm not saying that, but you know, that's sort of.
Well, no, you're not saying that, but apparently Ridley Scott is, because he's saying that the historical drama that he's created with this last duel, which looks, from the trailer, looks incredibly accurate, very miserable and dull and, you know, not all knights in shining armor, but, you know, covered with mud, a bit like Excalibur, the movie. Nobody's watching it because of these young millennials who are more interested in looking at their cell phones every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I think it just... Here, what I've seen of it, the promotion of it, nothing about it even appealed to me. And
yeah, I didn't see much about it either that I went, oh, I got to go see that. I would like to throw in there that there, I have seen where people will, there's kind of like Millennial A and Millennial B. The Millennial A's grew up where they actually remember what it was like not to have even DVD players, let alone the internet. And then there's the ones that were born after 1990, maybe a little after that, who know nothing about the internet, you know. So let's say 85 to 93 and then 93 to 2000. You can almost break them up into two parts so that there is a almost a demarcation there in their attitudes. And I think there may be some truth to that. The younger millennials certainly, and then into the Gen Zs, certainly have that insane, you know, mindset where the ones that actually grew up and had to go outside as kids,
yeah,
they're not so nuts. So I think there is, I think the older you get, the less weird they get.
Right.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
But I think the Zoomers aren't they're not as weird as the millennials to me. I seem to relate to them more than I do.
The older Zoomers, no, they're still the tail end of that millennials. They still got the whack. But like my kids who are in there, well, my daughter is 19 and my son is 16, and they, yeah, they use the social media, but they're kind of like, I don't really care about likes and I don't care so much about some of this stuff, and they just they see like the kids up that above them from school and high school and that kind of stuff who were completely nuts, and they really don't want to have that much to do with it. Not all of them, but they say there's plenty in their class that are nuts, but the cracks are forming in Gen Z for certain.
So would you say that the younger you get, the more you care about likes and the more you worry about, you know, being on your phone more? Is that what you're saying?
I think there is a window in time of when all this stuff was new and the likes and everything really were, you know, a big deal, as opposed to before then when you're like, so somebody hit like on my Facebook, why do I care about that? Or hearted my tweet, why do I give a shit? And after that, where you watched a generation slightly before you or just slightly older than you that obsessed over this, and you were like, why are they obsessing over this? when they watch them go insane ahead of them and don't want to repeat that. So I think there's this window of this generation tweet, maybe we can call it, who have just completely lost their minds and have been driven insane by the social media companies. And I think the social media companies window is fast closing on that ability to manipulate people, because there's the older generation who's like wise to it, and the younger generation who is, I guess, somewhat wise to it because they don't want to go down the path of these insane people. And as more and more of those people kind of come out of the cult, then, you know, hopefully this will be like our long national nightmare is over, you know?
It's not just national. I think you're talking worldwide here.
Yeah,
it's a global pandemic, which is, I think, spread more than COVID, more than anything else in the entire world. Because
I agree.
I've got a niece who's 13, and some of the pictures she posts, and you know, she has to get the likes and everything else for it. And then some of the abuse that I've seen her get as well is absolutely, it's awful.
It's not a coincidence, but they call it going viral. It's like a disease.
Yeah.
But with it, so Ridley Scott has been saying, that's how Adam Driver got both of his jobs.
Disavow.
It's all right. No, nobody watches this. It's fine.
It's true.
But with it, he's saying that it's these millennials, that these kids with the short attention spans that are causing the problem. Now, The Last Duel is actually quite a long movie, isn't it? It's knocking on 3 hours, isn't it, as I recall?
I don't know. I know nothing about it.
All I know about Ridley Scott is Alien and Gladiator and everything else.
You know, here's the problem. Here's the real problem that Ridley don't understand is he's kind of turned into a bit of a hack over the last, 10-ish years, maybe, give or take. Mm. And he churns out a lot of crap really fast. You know, Ridley apparently has fallen into the quantity, not quality camp here lately, it seems like.
You say that, Sean, but I mean, I went and saw House of Gucci this weekend. My wife dragged me to it. But I actually thought it was
sure, the wife.
That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. I didn't think it was a bad movie. It's well shot. It's reasonably well told. The subject matter is just not something that I find all that compelling. I mean, it's an Italian, you know, clothing store company, snobby company with a family that is clearly,
store though, isn't it?
It is. It is a big store, but it is a I don't know. They Gucci was started way back at like in the 20s. And okay. The guy who started it, you know, he started it from a leather goods thing. And then his sons took it over and they ran it reasonably well, but they didn't have to, you know, scrap like their father did. But they did, you know, get the business going to a more exclusive look. And then you get to the grandsons. And those guys never had to work a day in their life. And I think you see this a lot with these barons of industry that make these giant, you know, I mean, think of the Hiltons, you know, the guy who made the Hilton hotels, you know, what do you end up with? You end up with Paris Hilton, right? I mean, it's it happens a lot where, you know, the whatever the drive is and whatever hard scrapping things that owner had to go through to create this business, that you know, the hard knocks he had to go through, that his kids don't have to go through. The kids have no idea. And then they end up either running it into the ground or, you know, marrying a crazy woman who hires somebody to shoot them on the steps of their own company that they had to sell out because they've wrecked it so badly anyway. There's not
we've all been there.
Yeah, you know, it's
that old chestnut.
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't that happened to?
I mean, with it, funny enough, I do remember famously that Jackie Chan said that in his will he hasn't left his kids any money at all. Because he wants them to learn the sort of respect of earning money. That, you know, he's somebody who's worked incredibly hard. I mean, I started doing a little biopic of him, and you know, from the tender age of about 7 or 8, he put himself through school, and he went through the Chinese opera school, and he worked really hard, and he became an international superstar and worth a lot of money now. But he wants his kids to just sort of think, you know, no, you don't just have money for doing nothing. You, if you want money, you have to go out and earn it.
Yeah. And so that's probably the best thing that these guys could do for their kids. But I mean, I can understand where they want to leave it to their family as well. And
yeah,
you know, I'm sure that there's examples of this where it did work out in the family. I can't think of any right off the top of my head, but, you know, as far as this movie goes, I mean, Ridley Scott, it's doing well. So, I mean, I just don't think his argument holds water.
Yeah,
I think it's the subject matter, and it was, and maybe, I don't know, maybe a little bit of the Green Knight. I like the Green Knight. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great movie, but it is work. And I think there was a lot of, maybe some millennials who maybe caught that and just turned it off. Maybe they saw it on streaming or something. And then, so when they see Ridley Scott's, it has a lot of that vibe to it. You know,
see, funny enough, when you said that, my mind immediately went the other direction. That I love the Green Knight. I thought it was great. It was kind of that sort of, it was that historical drama, but with that whole fantasy element that was put in it. And like you say, it was hard work, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but George, I are old and don't have the attention span of a mayfly. So these guys, I think there is some argument to what Ridley says about their attention spans and everything.
But what I was, the point I was going to go on to make, if I wasn't really interrupted.
What I do, man. Welcome to the show.
But the Green Knight, I think, was kind of, because it was more of a sort of fantastical story as opposed to The Last Duel, which is then just going to be based in history. Like I say, not that I've seen it, but everything is just based in history, and there are no giant beings and wooden creatures and all this kind of stuff. That out of the two of them, the one I prefer to watch is The Green Knight, because it's just more interesting in what it does.
So maybe you've got, so Sean, you said you saw the trailer, and I did too, and I kind of went eh. And I think you did too.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. George, to your point, you see The Green Knight, and then you look at If I'm hearing you correctly, that you look at The Last Duel and go, it's not really The Green Knight, is it? So you didn't really feel compelled. I mean, I don't think any of this has to do with millennials and their attention span per se.
Yeah,
as much as I joke about it, it's got to be, you know. I mean, especially when he's got a second movie out, The House of Gucci, and it's doing quite well.
Sorry to interrupt you there, but I just. Remembered, I was on a forum a day or two ago, and they were talking about it, and I heard read several people say that the thing that turned them off about The Last Duel was the casting. They were complaining, you know, they had no desire to see Matt Damon or what's his face. You know, yeah, they're just like, those, I don't want to see those two guys. And, you know,
the goatees and haircut didn't help.
No, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, the presentation just didn't look that great, so I don't know. House of Gucci is fine. That's about all I can say. It's fine. It says based on a true story, which basically means we don't give two craps about facts. We got the names right. That's about it.
You know what? It's funny you say that, because I watched King Richard about Venus and Cyrilla Williams' father. And the only thing that I believe was true in that was there were two sisters called Venus and Cyrilla, and Serena. They had a father called Richard, and they played tennis.
Yeah, that's probably all you can say for certain.
Yeah, the rest of it, I'm sure, was very Hollywoodized. As happens. I think I should probably make a confession here. I also watched, you guys have probably never heard of it, thank goodness, but I also watched a movie called One Chance, which is a story about a chap, and there's a program called, I think it was called The X Factor at the time. It's one of these talent shows that we have, Simon Cowell crap that came out. And this chap went on there and sung opera, and he became famous, very, very famous of it. And it was somebody else who was watching it. I did not put it on out of any validation or anything at all. But the whole story was called One Chance, and it was kind of X Factor's on every year. It's not really One Chance. You could probably come back next year. And the whole bit before he was about to go out on stage, he got a text message from his mum or something or other saying, I love you and blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, none of that happened. None of this happened. You know, all of this is just completely made up. You know, he had a seance and his dead father appeared on the stage, you know, just before him and all this kind of stuff. And that didn't happen. But it was just, like I say, when Hollywood always says based on a true story, you always sort of think to yourself, yeah, sure it is.
Sure it is, yeah. I know.
The main protagonist.
It's like that. It's like that, those Conjuring movies, the Annabelle. They show the doll. It's just like this horrible, creepy doll that's walking around the house and strangling people. And then when you find out, it's just some Raggedy Ann doll sitting in a case. You know, it's nothing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, yeah.
When we say based on a true story, there was a doll. And like you say, with this House of Gucci. So with it, you're basically saying it kind of. Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
serviceable.
It was serviceable. Yeah, 2 hours and 30 minutes. It was well acted. It was as a story, it was told fine. I didn't really question a ton of things and that kind of stuff. I did read up on the Guccis, and I was like, I was, that's where I kind of found out. I was like, man, they left out a ton of crap here. You know, the basics are there, but, and then I think what went around it is Jared Leto is absolutely unrecognizable in it. Al Pacino plays Al Pacino if he was playing Mario, which is, it's a me, Al Pacino.
Now I want to see it. Man.
Yeah, no,
it's really bad. Yeah. He's Italian, for Christ's sake. You know, you think he could put on a better Italian accent? And I was like cringing through the whole thing. And Leto is worse. Adam Driver is pretty good in it. Adam Driver is fast becoming one of my favorite actors. I think that he really, he's a little more subtle. Which is helpful. He knows the word subtle.
I do rate him as an actor. I think he's very good.
Yeah, because Pacino waved bye-bye to subtle like decades ago.
He's paid his dues. I think since Son of the Woman. He's done his stuff. He can do whatever he likes now.
Yeah, well, apparently that includes Adam Sandler bullshit. So, you know, whatever buys those yachts, they don't pay for themselves.
I don't understand.
No, they probably got, I was going to say, they probably got the yachts. It's the maintenance that costs a lot now.
That's true. Yeah. You got to pay those people.
They're also rich. You wonder why they don't just go like, I know why they don't. One part of it is ego. And, you know, that they always have to have the attention on them. But, you know, you wonder if there's a point where they're like, I'm super rich. I made The Godfather, you know, all this stuff. Why don't I just leave it and retire and, you know.
Nicholson did. Nicholson was smart enough to kind of get out before he became a total punchline.
Yeah, that's true.
He's done standard stuff as well, though.
He has. He's done some, but he finally, you know, he's like, I'm done. Connery, I think, never really. Well, I mean, I think League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but I think that was the one that broke him.
Yeah,
you know, when he realized, he's like, no more. I'm done.
Well, funny enough, it's always people always say League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but I always say he did the. The Avengers, which was the British Avengers, which was the British TV series.
That was pretty
and again,
bad.
there was a point in there where he was dressed up as a giant teddy bear. And it was just, you know, and it's like, you were James Bond, man. You were James Bond. You know, the best James Bond. When everybody says James Bond, they always think of Sean Connery first. Yeah. And now you're doing this. But I think he did bow out of Hollywood in the end and just sort of said, you know what? No, I'm not enjoying it anymore. And I mean, quite often you hear of actors doing that. There's apparently a story, how true this is, I don't know, of Ian McKellen breaking down on the set of either Hobbit or Lord of the Rings and crying because he was sort of sat on a green screen with nobody else there and sort of thinking that, you know, this is not why I got into acting. And so you can, in some respects, understand that. I mean, he's a very classical stage actor and used to working with, you know, live audiences and that kind of thing. And then to then be on a green screen and literally just him and Peter Jackson shout at him to do whatever.
Well, I mean, on the original, there were sets. There were the bigatures. There was stuff going on. It wasn't like there was no green screens, but he acted with people. And I think, I mean, that was my friend Floyd and I, when we discussed The Hobbit, how bad the orcs looked and how much extra CGI was in there that didn't need to be in there. It was really, really annoying. So, I mean, I can understand why McKellen went, what? Had a nervous breakdown finally.
Plus, he's like 100 years old. He might have just crapped himself or something, too.
That's true.
He just made up that story to cover.
Maybe he was on the set and he went, Charles Mutant saw it. You're wrong movie, man.
Ian, you're right. Have you done it again? Yeah, come on. Let's go and get you changed. Come on. Let's get you changed.
Where's my helmet? No, it's a different movie.
I mean, there was a couple of other bits and pieces in the news today, but I don't think we're going to go majorly into them. I mean, Star Wars Damage Control, again, what's the point? I've just given up all hope and everything for that. But talking of Disney, I started watching, although I'm only about halfway through the first episode, but you've seen the first two episodes of Hawkeye,
yes,
which is now streaming on Disney Plus. Now, what did you make of those?
I really loved it. Is it you know, perfect? No, and there's still more episodes to come. But I never have this stuff up in front of me. But the girl who plays Kate Bishop, and she's been in a lot of stuff. She was the girl in True Grit, the remake, and And she's been, you know, in a lot of these teen dramas, and she's grown up into an attractive actress that isn't generically pretty. She has a little bit of, you know, character and growth to her face. And in no way does that mean that she's, you know, got like some sort of uggo thing going on. She just looks a little bit more unique than generic pretty actress, you know,
the whole clone, and they just go out on a conveyor belt. I do know what you mean by that.
Yeah, that's what it feels like sometimes. And they started out, and it's like 2012, and she lives in a high rise, a penthouse with her parents. And the parents are fighting a little bit, but neither of them seem perfect, but neither of them seem like complete crap. Like the father has some layers to him. And the mother has some problems, but also is care. And they both care. They seem like real people, you know?
Yeah. And as opposed to one extreme or the other.
Right. Usually the father is garbage, right? And then the mother is perfect and put upon. That's not the impression I got here. And then it's 2012, so the Battle of New York happens and the father dies. And you get the impression that they're having some money problems because they talk about wanting to sell the penthouse. But then after he dies, it kind of flash forwards ahead, and she's in her senior year of college now. And apparently they're very rich again. The mother and the daughter have plenty of money. How this happens, I don't know. They haven't explained it yet. Perhaps it's a story point that's coming up later. But at the moment, she has plenty of money. Maybe it was from life insurance. We don't know. And they're still living
paid
in that
paid house. Off by Tony Stark.
The Hulk accidentally stepped on their dad is how he...
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe they got a great payoff. I don't know. So the girl, she's when her father dies, she goes into super protect mode. Now, she's very talented. They show that she can do gymnastics, and she pushes herself real hard. She trains on fencing and all this stuff. So she's very good and very skilled. That doesn't mean she makes good decisions. And the very first thing we see her when she's been given a bet to see if she can hit an arrow on this bell tower. And she figures out how to get the arrow to grab the clapper, which it does. But apparently this thing is so fragile that half of the bell tower collapses and she's really screwed over by it. So her mom takes away her credit cards. And again, she doesn't come across as spoiled or anything. And she's very contrite about it. And she ends up, her mom is dating this, I don't know, rich foreign guy. And they go to a charity auction. And then there's like the secret auction down below. And one of the items is the Ronin suit that Hawkeye used to wear. And somebody attacks that auction, and through a series of misfortunes, she grabs the suit and tries to, and puts it on to try to, because she doesn't trust this guy. So she's, that's the mystery she's trying to figure out. And she uses the suit to fight these guys. Now, the cool thing was, is that when she fought these guys, she didn't, she wasn't a 90-pound woman throwing around 200-pound guys. These guys, when they were stronger, she had a tough time. And she had to use a little bit of guile and a little bit of the, you know, redirect their own weight against them and that kind of stuff. And there was a couple of times she thought she was in trouble. And it was like, hey, you're making me root for her. You're making me care about her because she's not just does everything perfectly.
Sue.
Yeah.
A Mary Sue.
She's not a Mary Sue at all. And so, you know, she's, and of course, the actress herself is very likable. Meantime, Hawkeye is with his kids, and they're going to a show, a Broadway show that stars the Avengers. They have Captain America singing, I could do this all day. It's a whole song called I Could Do This All Day. And he's watching it. He's kind of rolling his eyes. And then there's a moment where he sees the actress playing Black Widow, and he has kind of a moment, you know? He doesn't break down and cry. He doesn't go into, you know, a panic attack. He just has a melancholy moment, you know, because he's not a weak, wimpy, whiny baby. He's a man who's been through some shit, and he has his moments, but he keeps it. He doesn't lose it because he's got his kids there, and that's the only thing that matters to him. And his kids love him, and he's doing the best he can. He's a good father. Holy shit.
Yeah.
What an idea.
And Natalie, at the end of the day, I mean, he loved Natalie, but he loved her as a sister. You know,
he loved
her as
a sister, yes. It wasn't like lamenting past romances or anything. He talks to his wife on the phone. When he finds out that the Ronin suit is out there again, he goes and finds this girl and he wants to protect her, and she's like, well, nobody followed me. And it's like, and of course they did follow her back to her home. Because she did something stupid, you know. And it's not, like I said, it's not like she can't fight, not like she can't do these things, you know. From a tactical perspective, she's very skilled. From a strategic perspective, because she's young and dumb, she makes dumb decisions. But in a likable mistake, you know, things that you would expect kind of way, you know. Like the kind that make you want to root for the person that's the protagonist. And Hawkeye's playing the kind of the weary mentor, but he doesn't come across like a broken down guy who doesn't care anymore or something, or is completely antithetical to his character. Just a guy who's, he's got his family back. He wants to do the right thing, and he knows that this is kind of his mess. So he wants to protect her and help clean it up. And all that setup made me like both of these characters a lot, make me want to see more. I don't know why this is so difficult for all these other shows to do, but they set up everything perfectly. They made everybody likable. They gave them the skills that they need, but they didn't make them perfect. They made them reasonable. They made you want to root for them, and I'm going to watch more. And I don't know if this is some of Jeremy, because I don't know what Jeremy Renner's politics are, which makes me think that he is probably non-woke.
He's a woke. He's a shit, Liam. He's all over Twitter and all this stuff, and there was all the anti-Trump go out and vote. You know, he indulges in all that.
I haven't seen him do that much of that. Yeah. Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe the people that I haven't. Ruffalo is a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a commie. He's just a straight up commie.
He's a commie, and he's out there defending, you know, the pedophile rapists and calling him JoJo and all this ridiculous shit. So I don't know. I mean, it's. To me, this, I don't know Renner's politics. Maybe you're right, but he seems to keep it more to the vest. And I know he was not really happy with the way Captain Marvel acted, Brie Larson. And I don't know if he had some input on this, on how the character would act, if they had some input, or if it's just we got some writers in here that are actually adults and wrote somewhat adults, you know? But I liked it from what I saw. Now there's only two episodes in. They've got plenty of time to ruin it. So, but right now I would recommend it.
Speaking of Renner, if you like his movies, the movie he's in just a couple years ago, Wind River, that's an excellent movie.
Is it?
Mm. Oh God, yeah.
I do recall that. And didn't he make the one about, was it the guy called Gary Marshall, about the guy who tried to get the information out about the whole drugs problem in Detroit that was being funded by Cuba or something or other? And he played the Kill the Messenger, I think it was called. And he played the guy who tried to get it out, and then the government basically ended up killing him. Spoilers.
He's got another streaming show going on right now too, doesn't he? What is it? Where him and what's his name were like in some small town. Oh crap! Come on, help me out here.
Well, I know there was a problem with an app he had or something that he had to take it off the market because it had. I don't know, something got, and he had to apologize for it or something, but I get the feeling, I mean, he's an actor, he's working on movies, he's a pretty busy guy, you know, they come to him with this idea, and he says, sure, run with it, and then they screw him over. I kind of get the feeling that that's what happened there. I don't really blame him for that, from what I hear, so I don't know, I mean, it's, the show is good, I like the show so far. It's somewhat lighthearted. It didn't have anything woke in it that I could see. And the characters are likable. She wasn't a Mary Sue. She's highly skilled, but she's not a Mary Sue. And I dug it.
I was surprised because I, for some strange reason, thought she was going to be his daughter. I didn't realize that.
No. The kids from the movie are in it. Yes. But they're still young enough, you know, and I guess, I don't know. It just warmed my heart to see a father acting like a father and the kids don't hate him. And they love him. I mean, God, what a breath of fresh air that is, you know?
He's not the bumbling fool that the young girl suddenly teaches how to become Hawkeye.
Right. Yeah, no, he's teaching her how to stop being a dumbass. So, yeah, I so far, I liked it. I said, plenty of time to get ruined. Speaking of ruined, Cowboy Bebop, please don't watch that live action version ever.
before we go on to that, just very quickly, Eggy Weggy says, sorry, I can't tune in this evening, gents. Dad's taxi this evening. It's not good enough, Eggy. You need to get your priorities sorted out. Family.
You could remind, there's a donation link there he could use at the YouTube
site. Make you can't up be for on. It. We want money.
And then I'm not going to try that name.
Skank, that is our guy McLeod.
Oh, okay. That is. Hey guys, just logged on. Okay.
How are you doing? We've been trying to get him onto a stream, and he has no interest in that. So.
No. Well, I can probably say with some immunity that him being Scottish, he would need subtitles. Love you really, McLeod. But yeah, anyway, so sure, I just thought I'd get that
just,
in there
because you know he is an owner of the site, so impressive.
Yeah, he edits my stuff as well, so
does, boy. What's my with all the n-word in George's last article? I didn't know he was such a racist. Weird.
Right, anyway, so on to Cowboy Bebop. So you've watched all of it or some of it? Or
I watched the first episode and I was done. Now I watched I never watched the original, so I watched the original before it came out, and I didn't
that
realize
was probably
it was
your mistake.
Maybe I don't know. I kind of wanted to know what I was getting into first, you know, what all the fuss was about, and I liked it. I mean, if you like that kind of thing, it's fine. I had no problems with it. It's a fine little anime. But anime has its own aesthetic to it, right? It has it requires it to be animated in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah.
So when they try to
say that's the number one requirement.
Well, yeah, but I mean, my point is when you look, I have a point here, damn it. Don't just listen, wait, patience. When you translate it to live action, you try to keep everything exactly the same, the costumes and everything. Everything looks ridiculous. John Cho, I like him a lot. He's a fun actor. He looks like he is given a lot of help by the stuntman trying to be Spike in doing all his karate moves. And there are times where he looks like he's in slow motion or trying, you know, like when you first learn how to dance and you're just counting the steps, making sure that you don't step wrong. You know, it feels like
punch,
a giant fan
kick,
film.
Pause, block.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly what it looks like. I don't know. Nothing about it feels right from the actual anime. It doesn't have any of the slickness. It's weird. It's like you try to make it look, everything look dirty, right? But it's kind of like when you go to a theme park and they artificially age everything, but you could clearly tell that it's the same, that it's always been. Like they drew those, you know, scratch marks on there and they'll stay there forever, but it wasn't actually worn down or anything. The whole show looks like that.
You've got like scratch marks here and scratch marks there, which are exactly the same. Then there's another set down there. And
as much as they make it look dirty, it feels very manufactured, plastic, CGI, all that kind of stuff. And none of it comes across well at all. And I'm just, you want to talk about misfire. This is the biggest misfire I've seen in a long time. I can't even bring myself to watch any more of it because it was so, I've seen YouTube videos that were done with more love than this thing. It's just, it's bad.
I've heard of it, obviously, and I think I have tried to watch it in the past, but that's literally as far as I got. That was the anime. This one, for me, just nothing I saw about it made me want to even try it.
No, I don't doubt it.
You know, it's like you say, anime has got that style and got that grace. And I think we were talking about it earlier, Sean, because you mentioned Ghost in a Shell, didn't you? That visually, it looked like an anime, even though it wasn't a particularly well put together film. But, you know, it kind of captured that anime sense in a real life version type thing.
It helped because it's sort of cyberpunk world. Probably, I guess you could make the argument it is the original cyberpunk world, as far as something that's not a book, but the CGI in it was, I think, spot on, more or less. You know, it helped it, you know, it really, it was easy to accept it, you know what I mean?
And
and that's the problem. It just doesn't come across correctly when you're trying to do this as an anime and translate it all to live action. I mean, some of it is gorgeous, but it still doesn't feel right. And it plastic and then the only guy that's worth a damn is the guy that plays, I think his name is Jet, Spike's partner. He's fine, but everybody else is bad and it doesn't work. And I would say, just watch the anime. It's on Netflix. Just watch the original.
There you go. And then, speaking of Netflix and so forth, let's talk about streaming services. Because, first of all, let's have a little bit of a history lesson. I've got here in my hand something which some of you kids may not have seen before, but this is a video. And back in the day, what used to happen is when a movie came out to the cinema, it was usually 6 months or maybe a year before it then came out on a video. And if you wanted to watch it at home on your own video, there was a video store that you had to go to out in the rain, usually on your bike or something, and then pay like £2 or $2, whatever it might be. And then you rented that video for a day and that you had to rewind it because when you'd finished with it. And then you'd have to take it back the following day before 6 o'clock. Otherwise, you'd get fined. Like 50p or something or other for bringing it back late. And that was kind of
Blockbuster Video.
this that was kind of streaming back in the 80s and 90s, really. And that's how Netflix started, wasn't it? Because Netflix started that you would send off the DVDs and they would send you the DVDs and then you'd watch them and return them. But then Netflix went to streaming. And for a long time, they were kind of pretty much the only person that was doing it for an awfully long time, weren't they? Netflix, I can't think of anything else. But then as time has now gone on, I mean, we could probably collectively think of maybe 10, 15 different companies that are now doing the same thing.
You mean streaming?
We'll get round to the sort of final question eventually. But I mean, are they worth it for how much money you spent on it? Yoda, you wrote up the article today. I mean, again, to sort of break down some of those costs for us. Break down some of those costs for our accounting friends out there.
Which article are you talking? I didn't write up an article today.
I think he's talking about the blurb on the live stream post on the website. No,
that is our wonderful editor, Mr. Stark.
Okay,
who helps us with that? So I just stuck up the. You're exposing me right here as a complete lazy bastard.
Right, here we go. I've got it now. So basically, the standard subscription to Netflix is running at about $13. Amazon Prime is, $14 because $13.99. Amazon Prime is $13. Disney is $8. And then HBO Max is $15 a month. Paramount is $10 a month. Peacock is $5 a month. That's just, what, six that I've just mentioned there. And then they add up to, here we go. Brain is not going to be that quick.
I was told it's there'd be no math on the stream.
I can only count up to 21, and that's if I'm nude. but I mean, that does add up to, what, you know, maybe $50, $60 a month for all of these streaming services for particular movies that you then want to watch.
Well, this and is assuming that you're not doing like what I'm doing, which is adding in DirecTV Stream, which is about $60 a month. Now, I add in my HBO into that, so I get my HBO Max free, so you could cut $14 out of that list. But yeah, I mean, if you want live TV or if you want local TV, you got to add that in, and there's still a lot of people who want that. Or
funny enough, in the UK, we pay for the BBC TV license. And again, if you want to watch live TV, I think it's about £120 a year, I think it is.
Whether you want it or not.
Well, no, actually saying that, the BBC are actually sort of kind of losing money out of it now because people are turning to, you know, they're not interested in watching live television because they have just got Netflix or they have just got Amazon. And so they don't need to watch live TV anymore. I'm kind of one of those people, I must admit. The BBC, it's very rare that I watch live television. The thing I do like doing at 6 p.m. is usually the headlines for the news, and so I kind of like watching that just to see, to make sure the world's not ended and I didn't know about it. the earth is blown up today, has it?
Oh, right. I mean it's hard to get your cable news stuff, although these days, I mean, like Fox has their own YouTube channel. CNN has their own, you know, if you want any of those.
Fox has its own streaming news thing too now.
It does.
Fox Nation or something like that.
So you could be a la carte, but then I think it gets back to your point, George, is that how much more a la carte before you're spending way more than you did on cable in the first place? Not to mention you got to pay for your internet connection into your home.
Yeah, as well on top of it. Because, again, I'm just going to bring this in as a sideline. I mean, I make websites for people, and then some of the websites that I do, well, no, actually, no, forget the website. I pay for a monthly fee at the moment for Adobe. Now, back in the day, I bought Adobe products for a few hundred pound. Goodness knows how much I spend on Adobe in the long run. But again, they now charge $17 a month if you want to use Photoshop and Premiere and a few other bits and pieces. So there's another $17, you know, dollars that's going out a month, like you say, on top of silly things that, you know, most people have to get, like food and rent and clothing. You know, so because when it was just Netflix had the perfect opportunity because they could build on what they had because they were just the one service. Now everybody is trying to compete, people do have to think income is not going up as much as it was, is not keeping up with inflation. So people are worried about buying food and so, that kind of thing. So then where do you give your money to enjoy these movies?
Well, there's a couple of things there, I think, that you might be missing. And it's, I think, is what gives the streaming services a little bit of a leg up. How many of them, like, once you subscribe to them, you forget to unsubscribe, you know?
Yeah.
You just let it go. And people think, $13 a month. You know,
it's like
I watch
gym membership.
Well, it is. You're exactly right. It's a gym membership. That's
you sign up in January. I'm going to get fit this year. Oh, come summertime. Oh, this is all going to go.
You haven't been once, but you've been paying for it. And quite frankly, you know, you go to the movies. What? It's a, if you take you, your wife, it's a $40 night. If you buy anything or, you know, anything, it's probably a $30 to $40 night. And then you figure you just saw one movie, right? So there is an economics of scale and convenience that people probably, like you said, like a gym membership, they just keep paying for it. I don't know that people are really kind of equating it the way you're saying, where you're saying, well, stuff is going up. People make their buying decisions at the moment that they're buying. But when you have something that's just coming out of your account all the time, they're just, it's not in their brain. Or, like, I meant to cancel that. And then they, like, well, I got it this month. I'll cancel it before it comes up next month. And then they forget again, right?
I only look at it like that because I'm a tight ass.
Well,
basically, you know, I don't, like I say, I can't sort of spend money willy-nilly like that. It is kind of, you know, I have to, I don't live hand to mouth, but, you know, every penny's accounted for where it's going to go. And so when it comes to streaming services, I don't have any expensive hobbies. I haven't been yachting for a lovely long time, and skydiving now has just lost the thrill. So, I mean, the only hobby I really have is watching movies. So I don't mind paying for some of those services because it's my little hobby. I've got a friend of mine who's just bought a bicycle, and it was £40,000. And I was...
£40,000 for a bike?
It's made of titanium or something or other. And was it 14? It may have been 14, actually. But either way...
It's still absurd.
Is it made of gold? What the hell? Yeah.
No, it's made of, like, Teflon or something.
Does it have a vagina attached to it?
It better.
No, apparently, it's got no seat, though.
Oh, it's that South Park
with
bike.
It, I mean, But to him, he didn't mind it because it's his hobby. And he cycles, you know, 40, 50 miles a day, maybe sometimes, you know. And so kind of like it's all relative at the end of the day, isn't it? That what you spend on something, you know, my new laptop just cost me £1,500. And most people are going, really, £1,500 for a laptop? And it's like, yeah, but it's not just my hobby. It's my work as well. But, you know, I know I'm going to be using it all the time. So I don't mind. It's not like I've spent £1,500 on a painting that's going to sit on the wall and do nothing. So I do account for all of my money. So like I say, I do pick and choose who I subscribe to, but I couldn't, and I don't think anybody does really. It would be, I mean, do you think there is anybody that subscribes to all of these networks and tries to get everything in?
Oh yeah. One of my friends has subscribed to probably 7, 8 of them at least.
I think he's an outlier, Sean. I really do. I think people pick a few of them. I mean, I run a movie site, and I don't subscribe to all of them. I do HBO Max, Disney Plus, Netflix, and then the DTV, and that's it. And I do have YouTube subscription because I listen to a lot of YouTube, and I just don't want to bother with the commercials and stuff.
You pay for premium on YouTube. My goodness, I didn't think there was anybody in the world that did that.
I did for a little while.
I do because I listen to a lot of YouTube. I mean, it's worth it for me. That's because it's I have a ton of it, and those commercials. I mean, the commercials got bad on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
So it's well worth it for me.
And the best part of it is the you can watch YouTube on your phone, and you can close the phone. It doesn't have to be up. So
right. You can close the phone
and stick it in your pocket. Yeah, and it'll still play, and you don't have to worry about something touching it. And, you know, yeah. So it's
like I can, re-listen to this. I don't have to stare at our ugly faces. So it's nice.
That's worth the price of it alone.
I think it is. I've given you guys a tip out there. So I like that. Do you subscribe to any of the free stuff like Tubi or Crackle no. or any of those? I like Tubi. It does have commercials, unfortunately, but it has a lot of older esoteric stuff that you can't find in other places. Especially
that's
older TV shows.
That's the issue I have. Now, one particular streaming service I'm going to have a little bit of a rant at now is Amazon. As in, over here in the UK.
I do have Amazon too, but that's...
What annoys me about Amazon is it's £8 over here in the UK, £8 per month. You can pay £80, I think, for the year, and obviously gets two months free. What I found with Amazon was, and one of the reasons I do subscribe to it now and then, if I buy something that I need and the only place I can find it is Amazon, they give it to me free, fine with that. But I hated paying for it, still seeing adverts for other stuff that they had on there, which kind of annoyed me. But then also, I would say a good 50, maybe 60% of the stuff that's on Amazon, you then have to buy or rent on top of the price you're already paying.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a bit of stuff on Prime, and they have some reasonable original programming. Some of it's pretty good. I keep needing to go through The Expanse. I hear that it's fantastic.
That's George R.R. Martin, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it? I don't think so. It's a space science fiction thing.
I thought it was by him as well.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I hear the show, what I've seen of it, and unfortunately I just haven't, it's one of those, it's like Game of Thrones. You got to pay attention. You got to, you got to put your effort into it. And it's not one of those I could just listen to on the side and kind of glance at here and there. And right now I don't have the time to do that. So they have some good stuff, and the Prime stuff kind of comes in and out. So I just make sure I look at Prime only, and they have the one advert at the beginning, and then after that, it's usually fine. I mean, I really like The Boys and some other stuff. So I don't know. I mean,
that's the TV series, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just amazing. I like Boys.
I like The Boys. I don't like Boys anymore.
Just getting out of there.
I prayed the gay away.
Electroshock therapy really makes a difference.
Yes, yes.
And
lost
and
three
again,
roommates that year.
But again, I mean, The Boys is a brilliant series. It's fantastic, and I completely understand, you know, why you want to sit down and watch it and everything else. But then when you think of, again, all the other exclusives that they're now having, it's kind of, I wonder if it's worth more sort of like, right, January, for example, when Book of Boba Fett is finished, paying for Disney Plus, so then I can binge watch all of Boba Fett. And then the month after that, when something else has come out, buy that one for a month so I can just binge watch all of that, as opposed to just subscribing to them all and trying to watch them all in one go.
You know what my biggest problem with all of these are is probably the fact that it's especially with Netflix, but I would say it's with Prime and a few others as well. It's not the fact that, you know, I have to have these different ones to see these different things. Is that it's inconsistent to where they are. Like movies go from one platform to another. They bounce from Netflix to Prime to HBO Max.
Yeah.
I where the hell do I find the one movie I want to watch? You know, If I could be certain that when I go to Paramount Plus, all the Paramount movies would be there, fine. If I go to Disney, like HBO has all the DC stuff, except for the stuff it doesn't have, right? Star Trek is sort of on Netflix, but some of it's now on Paramount, so I don't know where the hell it is anymore. That's the part that bugs me the most, is that I can't, you know, something I'm looking for, I know it was there once, it's not there now.
I think the other thing as well is I've had with Amazon is I have paid for a movie and then literally a few weeks later it's then been free because they've switched it round to
whatever. That's irritating as hell, isn't it?
You know, and you know, I paid $3.99 for that. And also I found with Amazon that if you buy a movie and you have it and own it, you only own it if you are subscribed to Amazon Prime.
Right.
If you bought a movie, it's literally like buying a DVD from someone and then sort of saying, well, we're not friends anymore, so I want it back.
That's why I buy mine on Vudu if I want to buy a digital one, though I haven't done that many recently. Occasionally, I'll still buy some on digital, but Vudu is kind of separated from all of those.
Okay.
You own it with them. But I do think that, you know, over the course of time, it's going to be something like blockchain or NFTs, non-fungible tokens, that kind of stuff that will give you digital ownership over a movie that says this is absolutely yours and you don't, you know, you it doesn't matter where you play it and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And because you will have the ownership token and nobody can take that away from you. Right now, I mean, if Vudu dies or something, then I'm effed. I don't know what's going to happen to all those. Now, weirdly enough, all of those movies on Vudu, I can watch them on YouTube as well. I don't know how that works or why it works that way, but I mean, I know it does, and I know I can link up my accounts or something, but it's kind of funny how I can watch these in some different platforms. I don't know if I can watch them on Prime. I've never really tried. So the whole digital thing, I don't know. Some of this I kind of think is kind of like growing pains, and there's a lot more that needs to get fleshed out over time.
Again, funny enough, though, but with what you were just saying there, I was just thinking that is then streaming a good thing or a bad thing as opposed to, say, physical media?
I have probably 8,000 Blu-ray discs and DVDs, wow. And I don't have to worry about the, you know, internet going down, but now, you know, there's some stuff obviously that comes out that they don't release, and I've tried some of those streaming a little bit, but it's not worth buying because, you know, anything that comes out on those within 12 hours, there's a website that I can go to and watch it for free, you know.
Which we do not advocate on the last movie outpost.
If I was some sort of scoundrel, I would do.
You know, the problem is with the physical media, and I'm gonna be perfectly honest with all this, Sean, but, you know, I'll have a hankering to watch a movie, and if I can't find it on the streaming, I won't watch it, even though I own it. It's right there on the shelf.
I know.
It's just get up. Because it's lazy. I'm lazy. I'm lazy. It's like, oh, God, that shelf is hundreds of millimeters away.
Might as well be on the moon.
I got to switch the TV to video, too. F this crap.
I'm going to have to pick up the other remote control.
It's a nightmare.
The other half of my statement is I also have about 47 movie channels on the cable package, HBO Encore, Showtime, Cinemax, blah blah blah.
What's that
and
costing you?
I'm pretty insane because I don't know why, but you know, I watch them constantly. I don't watch anything else. It's movies. I don't watch TV shows unless they come on, you know, one of the cable movie channels or something like that, like they'd show on streaming. But
I can't remember last time I watched a network TV show.
No, I've never, a year, maybe 10 years or something.
Yeah.
But
occasionally, just to be different on the UK, occasionally there's a decent one. Steve Merchant, who created The Office, has just had one which was set up the road in a place called Bristol, which is literally about an hour away from me. So I did watch that, and I watched that on the BBC service. But that's the first one in a long time that I can remember that I've watched.
Yeah, so I don't even know why. I think that the problem, you know, one of the things I don't like about the stream, like Netflix, is that they'll get a few good things on there, and then there's a sea of just garbage. Nothing I'll ever watch or ever want to watch. you know, and it's the same. Now, Amazon Prime, that's really good because there's a lot of stuff on there. You can watch stuff on there, movies that haven't ever even been released on DVD, or they haven't been released in the reach. What's that?
Too much stuff to watch. I get overwhelmed. I'm like, oh, there's so much. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah. So, but, you know, like if you like Italian giallos, there's, you know, everything you ever wanted to see. Italian crime cinema, they got it. All this exploitation stuff that's never been released even on DVD, you can find it. And that's pretty handy to me, you know. That's with Prime. And I'm sure you could buy it to rent it or however you, you know, whatever you want to call it the other way. But I thought out of all of them, the Amazon Prime one is the one, would be the only, and I had it for a little while, but that's the only one that I think is, but you know, that's very niche for my taste, you know what I mean?
Well, that is a funny thing, is when you said about Netflix, because I often find there's quite a lot on there I do like, and I've got different accounts, and like my mum's got an account which she uses. Please don't shut us down, Netflix. But so every now and then I flick through hers, and I mean the stuff on hers is just, oh my goodness, to me it's hell. If somebody ties me to a chair and makes me watch the stuff that my mum watches, would be hell. You know, and so
you don't like Outlander?
No. She's even worse than that. She's watching The Crown and stuff like that. I have no interest in watching that, and then all these other sort of nice soap operas.
It's a good gig though to be my mom, because you get all the streaming services for free.
Yeah.
Because you just leech off of your kid's account. that's a good gig, you know, if you could get it, guys.
Yeah,
it's kind of payback, you know, for all the free leeching you did in the first few years of your life. All that free milk and food and shelter and everything else you didn't pay back.
All I remember were beatings and a lot of lawn work.
There was 150 of us living in cardboard boxes.
Hope Bob isn't watching this right now.
The only thing I find with Netflix in regard with that is I kind of don't like the fact it puts you like in a small cul-de-sac, or, you know, of, oh, you like horror and action, so all we're going to show you is horror and action. And my Netflix is quite funny because I like everything.
Is it much more difficult to find stuff on Netflix than it, like, they don't seem to have categories anymore, or maybe I'm just not looking hard enough, but you kind of run across something. It's like, oh, Netflix has this. I had no idea. Once in a while, you'll just spontaneously run across something you were surprised they had, but it's not easy to find those things. And whatever their algorithms are that are trying to anticipate your tastes, suck. So
it's made me laugh that Netflix over here, at least, they've now got a thing called saying play anything. And I think to myself, that's ridiculous because I can't find anything specific I want to watch. So you just picking something at
play
random.
Something.
It's not. Yeah. You know,
that's what it's called. Yeah. It's called streaming roulette.
Yeah, the thing about Netflix too, is every once in a while, they'll do one or two things that kind of almost redeems them. You know, like a few years ago I had it and I was like, I'm done with this. And then they released that The Highwayman with Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson playing, you know, the story of Bonnie and Clyde being tracked down by the Texas Rangers and shot. Oh. And I watched that, and that was great. It's good. And okay. I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep it a little while longer. And then something else come out. I think it was Jeremy Sauner's new movie that he released on there, Hold Back the Dark. And I thought, man, they really are up with their game. And then, of course, you know, it was back to business as usual. Oh, here's, you know, Jerry Springer's 500th season released, and, you know, woke garbage TV show number 127. Yeah.
Yeah. Mismatched comedy number 24 has been cancelled. Just to go on to the chat here, because we've had some people some comments, which is
that,
nice.
George, take it.
The video club was a good socializing spot. There are sometimes you just hang out there. It's that there is a TV series called The League of Gentlemen, which has got nothing to do with The Extraordinary League of Gentlemen, but there were two characters who used to hang down the video shop, and it was Steve Pemberton and Jeffrey Shearsmith, you may or may not know, but they used to sit there going, hey, this is a good video. How many killings? Oh, loads. And there's one point where he picks up and he goes, this one's good. It's called Seven. How many killings? Well, seven. He does one by sloth, one by lust, one by sneezing, one by dopey. But
what's in the box? It's a videotape, dude.
But it was good because, yeah, the video place wasn't a place you would hang out.
My do you guys have Redbox up there now? Are you familiar with it?
No.
It's basically video rental vending machines.
Okay.
And they have those here, like they have them outside of like Walgreens and inside some McDonald's and grocery Walmart. And you can just go in there and they'll have all these DVDs in a carousel. And they kind of shift them out every so often. And you can pick one. You keep it for like, I don't know, can you keep it for a week, I think, or something like that. I don't know what it is. And then you just, when you drop by there, you just...
verification?
No, but they do allow it so that you could go to any Redbox and replace, like, if you got it at the Walmart, you go to the Walgreens and replace it there. Wherever's convenient, you can replace the DVD. Like, you know, the old Blockbuster, you had to take it back to the Blockbuster you rented it from. It's not the way it is with Redbox. And, you know, it's small and it's automated, so I think it's kind of keeping the physical media thing alive. I don't think it's not a bad idea. They seem to be hanging in there.
I've just got to tell a very quick story about age verification.
Oh, here we go. I'm going to go get a drink.
Yeah.
No. I work with adults with learning disabilities, and recently we had us? This isn't work. I don't get paid.
That's not a denial.
But we had a chance recently to go and visit some places outdoors, and we went. One of the guys who I know wanted to go to HMV, which is a record DVD store, and wanted to look for some DVDs. So I said, "Fine, that's okay." So me and a few of the others went off, and they had lots of toys in there and stuff, and it was quite good. But what really made me laugh was this particular student had autism, quite bad autism, and she's generally very good at communicating, but she wanted to look at the DVDs, and they were doing two DVDs for 10 quid. And so I said, well, if you want to pick out something, that's fine. And so when she came back to the till, I shouldn't be laughing at this really, but it was funny. When she came back to the till, she handed over the DVDs, and I didn't quite see what they were. And then the guy said, oh, it's £10. And she looked at me and said, oh, it's £10. And I said, well, you've got your money, so that's okay. Like this. And she'd bought Little Mermaid, fair enough, and Goodfellas. And I really did laugh at myself. I mean, she's an adult, so I mean, she is over 18, but it was just the two, you know, if you're going for a double matinee of movies, you know, The Little Mermaid and Goodfellas.
You know, you know, I'm worried about your mood swings.
It was. I was giggling about that for a long time after that. But yeah.
Well, if you get those two mixed up, you know. I mean,
you know. Yeah.
And then
like
the Goombas came in and beat Sebastian with clubs because he shorted them on the cocaine for the King Zeus or Poseidon.
Going back to the chat, I can't stay long because Strictly is on. But hey, chaps, Strictly Come Dancing, just the cheap form of horrible manufactured crap television. That's why I don't pay for a TV license. Because if you know, watching the BBC create stuff like that is awful. Heading home, make a stop to get on a movie. Okay. The coolest thing about the video club was if you had a girlfriend, no, I'm not sure what he's talking about there. It was fun browsing titles. You would pick up a movie together, and sometimes browsing was funny. That's actually true, yeah. The conversations that I've had with friends have kind of, you know, oh, we should definitely watch this because I've heard it's good. It's got subtitles. And? I don't want to be reading. And the same sometimes with the girlfriend or the wife as you're going through streaming. It's kind of, you know, my wife's favourite is Miss Potter. You know, the story about Beatrix Potter. Yeah, not going to not going to sit there and watch that. So we have quite good arguments about what we can and can't watch together.
I'm pretty sure in the 90s there were a lot of divorces that were started in the video store. I want to watch this. No! Beat the crap out of each other and videotape everywhere.
In 2000, Blockbuster went bust and the divorce rate went down.
Well, yeah, weird.
Coincidence? I think not.
At the same time, we came out with Netflix and chill. So
yeah, that's right.
There was kind of a baby boom.
Eggie Buggies, NGL. Pronounce it Boba Fett. Boba Fett, not Bober. Boba Fett, thank you. This is an aimless argument between myself and the prequel age sons. Well, I say Boba because I'm from Somerset, so it's Boba Fett, isn't it? But Boba Fett?
It's neither Boba Fett or Bober Fett. It's Boba Fett. Because there's no freaking R in it.
Boba Fett. Boba Fett. Okay, I shall try and get in the habit. Fett. So. Bob Fett. Yeah. Hello, my name's Bob Fett.
That's right. You can call me Robert.
This is an interesting question from Eggies, where he says, what are your thoughts on streamers that release one episode per week?
Well, it's a way to keep you from binging and then dumping it after you're done.
That is the good thing about Netflix. It's like with like Cobra Kai is coming up. I know quite happily I can sit down and kind of watch Cobra Kai in a day or two and the whole thing and just binge the whole thing and enjoy the whole thing in one big go. Whereas the weekly episodes, like with Hawkeye, funny enough, I have watched the first episode or part of the first episode and I probably will watch them. It kind of, is it better then to break it up because it's only taking up 1 hour a week as opposed to sort of 8 hours in one day?
I'll be honest with you. It annoys the crap out of me. I feel like they're trying to shove a very antiquated way of doing things, i.e. network television having a schedule for live TV that you couldn't, you know, you had to go by their schedule.
Yeah. It's 7:30, so and so's on.
Yeah, and now they're going to do it. Now they're going to, you know, shoehorn that idea into streaming, which is completely antithetical to that idea. You stream because you can watch it when you want, when it's convenient for you. Now, yeah, granted, once the episode comes out, you can watch it any time of the day. But, you know, Netflix got it right the first time. They said, okay, here's your goddamn show right here. You know, here's your season 5. Here's all 23 episodes. Choke on it. And, you know, people would go into a binging coma. And when they came out of it, they were done. They could, you could, if you got snowed in for a weekend, you had something to do. But when they, you know, if there's something you really want to watch and they're trickling out on you every week, I can't stand it. I feel like you're taking this thing that you've created and you're trying to make it into the old thing. We didn't like the old thing. That's why nobody's watching that shit anymore.
But like Sean said, the thing is if you've got 8 episodes, that's 2 months. And so what you're then doing is holding on to those people for an extra month for that extra $10.
Yeah, I get it. Great for their bottom line. That doesn't mean I have to. A lot of things that companies do for their bottom line, I still can tell them to go piss.
You know, in some ways, I don't mind it because it gives me something to look forward to. You know, in my empty life, I can say like, oh, man. Oh, but wait, you know, Dexter comes on this Sunday. I've got that the new episode to look forward to. Whereas if I had it all at once. Dark turn. Yeah. But, you know, I would prefer to have it to where I could just watch it all at once.
I thought this was the weekly thing for your empty life that you look forward to.
Well, but I meant in the past.
I'm counting this as social work.
Yeah. This is the court mandated community service for me.
That's an ankle bracelet holding up, by the way.
If you would like to help Sean, there is a donate button at the bottom of the page. Yeah, the donate button will give him another week's subscription, another month's subscription to Netflix.
Won't you please help? Let's get the fly on his eyeball. Look, I can't see Netflix.
Is I do in some respect resent pain, because then also let's go down another viewpoint of this whole thing. Let's talk about Disney, because we all love Disney. But I have an issue with people giving money to Disney because it just kind of encourages them to make more stuff. Like, for example, Star Wars. We have spoken about how Solo lost money because the fans actually started voting with their wallets and sort of said, no, we're not going to watch that because what you've been producing is crap. And so, no, I'm not giving you any more money. And so, again, with now their streaming service, obviously the TV series have been doing better for Star Wars than the movies have. But again, it's another situation where if you do keep giving them money, they're just still going to keep producing the same old stuff.
Well, that's interesting the way you put that, George. So when we talked about this earlier, we're saying, okay, you forget about it like a gym membership, right?
Yeah.
So it's coming out whether you're watching it or not. If you're watching the thing, I don't know. If they're not actively pissing you off to cancel, but you're not actually watching the thing, I don't know that's a measurement that they can say, okay, well then obviously we need to keep giving more, maybe new subscribers. Like if Hawkeye comes out and they get a pile of new subscribers because of Hawkeye, and of course they can tell how many people have accessed the thing. I'm sure there's a rating system within it. But I'm not sure that when you say giving them money, like if I've been paying for it for a year now, you know, it doesn't change. It doesn't, there's no up or down to measure whether or not Hawkeye made me keep doing it or not.
But conversely, I would say to you that when Gina Carano got fired, the subscriptions went right down.
Well, yeah, that's what I say. When they're actively pissing you off and you cancel, then that's one thing. That's something that's measurable.
I would bet you that every one of those cancels will be right back when the new season of whatever it is comes. Because they're not the kind of people that.
Where else are you going to go?
Nerds are never going to quit, no matter what they say.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that you're saying that, okay, we keep giving them money, they keep making the stuff because we keep giving them money. That's measurable from a theatrical standpoint easily. You know, how many tickets did you sell? But from a streaming standpoint, I just don't see it being that cut and dried. Especially when we've all admitted that they're like gym memberships. We keep paying for it. We forget to cancel it. I think either you cancel it and that'll show them that we don't like what they're making. Or if you just keep paying for it, but you're not watching it, I don't know. I mean, maybe you watch some things, but not other things, or they just haven't pissed you off enough to cancel it. But does that translate into we love what you're doing? I don't see that seems like a bridge too far for me.
No, that's fair enough.
They interpret it that way though. You got it. They probably
interpret it that way. Maybe. I've seen this kind of thing, you know, in action as far as marketing and measuring this kind of stuff. They, believe it or not, they got some pretty smart people there that could tell what people like to a certain extent, or at least what they'll pay for, or what will get them going. And certainly the big name stuff from Marvel or Star Wars will always get people going. But as far as whether or not this, you know, because like if they put out a new Star Wars and nobody likes it, so they don't get a bunch of new subscriptions, that would tell them something, not the current subscriptions that are already there. It's kind of like your phone company. Once they get you, you know, they have all these great deals for new subscribers and they tell you to piss off. Right. It's kind of the same deal. So I don't know.
You want 50% off? No, you've been a loyal customer for the last 10 years.
You don't get shit. You're the redheaded stepchild that we beat.
Yeah.
I would bet that raising the price probably runs off more people than, you know, anger quits. You know what I mean?
See, again, that's hitting them in their pocketbook versus the content. So that's an interesting, that's a different way of putting it, right?
But I would say to that, though, that like with Netflix, I mean, when I first started paying for Netflix, it was maybe £5, I don't know, and it's gone up to, I think I only pay for the sort of more basic package now, but it has gone up. But I would say that the stuff that Netflix are producing I mean, obviously it's mixed, but they are producing, they are putting money back into making, you know, trying to make decent stuff is what I would say to that. So that, you know, in line with inflation, the only thing that hasn't gone up is my wages to pay for it. But I mean, obviously, you know, the cost of making movies has gone up. When you think, as I remember, War of the Worlds, the original War of the Worlds cost something like $1 million on the special effects. Whereas nowadays to make a movie, all right. No. Oh, right, the dog. whereas nowadays, a movie, you know, costing $100 million is kind of is nothing, you know, because the prices have all gone up.
Right. You heard that, George. The audience did not.
I tell you something else negative about all the streaming is that I did, and I did not realize this until I got a new Wi-Fi thing for the internet. And they offered me, it's like, oh, you can upgrade and have unlimited bandwidth or whatever. And I was like, what do you mean? I didn't, you know, this isn't my cell phone. I don't. And they explained to me because, well, so many people were stopping cable and just streaming that the cable company, which provides the internet here, was like, well, we're not getting anything out of all this streaming. So now we put a, you know, to get all this, you get this package and you can get, you know, faster, better internet, you know, because you're using all of this time to watch streaming stuff. So that's the way they make up from losing subscribers from streaming.
Yeah, I think some of them are starting to put together like packages. I know the cell phone companies are, but I bet the cable companies will be soon too, is, you know, packaging up Disney Plus and you know, you get your internet and you get all these packages together in one, you know, monthly payment. And I think they would be, the internet companies would be smart to start doing it that way. Because that's what they were doing when they were, you know, just throwing down, you know, channels or packages. How many times did you hear, you know, DirecTV no longer offers ESPN because ABC and DirecTV are fighting or whatever. You know, that kind of thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if the internet companies start consolidating these packages with the streaming services.
It's weird you say about unlimited packages, because, I mean, in the UK, I think they started doing that quite briefly, that it was kind of like a 20 gigabyte package that you could only download throughout a month. But then for an awfully long time, the last sort of 4 or 5 years, I would have said most UK suppliers are unlimited. But what they are now doing, like Yoda just said, is if you subscribe to us, we will give you 6 months free of, you know, Apple TV or whatever it might be, whoever they happen to be talking to at the time.
Do you have to have a license to get the internet?
No. No, you just, all you do is I've got internet and landline phone, and that I pay, I think it's like $32, I think it is, and dollars, £32. And then that's just unlimited, internet for me.
That's a surprise. I thought they would have made you buy a license to be able to use the internet and the phone or something.
No, we do have, like, say, the BBC, and if you want to watch live television, you have to have pay a TV license to the BBC. But that's about it. But no, the internet is, as long as you've got somebody who's, you know, a phone line into your house, you can use it.
Well, the BBC, help me understand. I understand you have to get a BBC license, but there's other channels, right? I mean, the BBC has one channel, but you have like Sky News and various other channels. Do you have to have a license to pick up those as well?
You have to have a license to watch anything live. So, I mean, in the UK, we've got like Freeview, I think it's called, which is, you know, there are loads of channels filmed for. And I mean, there's probably a good couple of hundred channels. I mean, back in the day, this is where it came from. Back in the day, there were kind of four main channels. You had BBC One and BBC Two, and then ITV and Channel Four. So you had your four main channels. If you wanted to watch any of those, you had to have a TV license, which said you could have a, you know, you could own a TV and you could watch live television. And it's not been updated since then, and they're now stuck in a situation where people are not paying for a TV license because they're not watching live TV. The TV is not connected to live, it's connected straight to the internet, and they are just watching streaming services. And so the BBC are actually losing money because of it.
Is there like a BBC game warden that comes around and can stop you on the street? And you have to present your TV watching license. And
back in the day, there were adverts about because they knew who was watching. They used to have TV detector vans. And back in the day, it was a cheaper license for a black and white TV, and it was more expensive for a color one. This is like saying awfully long time. They used to have TV detector vans, and they could tell if you had a TV in your house before the days of the internet. And so if you had a TV in your house, some people... I don't know whether this is an urban legend or not, but if they got a knock on the door from the TV detector van, they would unplug the aerial and say, well, it's only connected to the video and all we're doing is watching videos, and try and get away with it that way. But people have been taken to court and been prosecuted and been fined, and I do believe, can't check the facts, that some people have been sent to jail over it because they've done it repeated times.
Does anybody crazy. There realize how insane that is to have to... I mean, I just...
Now, is the BBC full of commercials and ads? Like
No.
So that's the deal. That's how they get their money.
The BBC produce quite a lot of their own stuff. They do a lot of their own movies. They've got their own sports channel. They've got their own news channel. And no, there are no adverts. In between the programs, there's kind of adverts for what's coming up and so forth on the BBC channel. But no, there are no adverts. A program goes from start to finish, whereas on ITV... who do have adverts, which then is annoying. I'm just only thinking about that because you're still paying for the TV license. They have adverts every, say, 15, 20 minutes or so forth. But no, the BBC do not have any advertising in there at all. It is quite funny because there is a breakfast program and they sort of say, the BBC do not advertise. But coming up on our breakfast program, we've got a singer with an album out, an actor with a movie out, and somebody with a book out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand previewing their upcoming stuff and that kind of thing, getting around it,
but there's no actual adverts.
Yeah, in America it was set up originally as a, and I think this stemmed from radio as well. It was set up as a network / affiliate system. So you had the big three networks. I think there was actually a different network before it finally consolidated to ABC, CBS, and NBC. There was a fourth network sometime in the 50s. It didn't last very long. And the networks would have affiliates in every city. So, because we're, you know, from a geographical standpoint, we're just too big, right?
Yeah.
But you didn't have to buy a license. If you could receive a radio signal, you could watch TV. And they, supplemented with advertisements, right?
Right.
So you'd watch it. A show, and then there'd be commercial break, and then you'd watch the rest of the show. And if it was an hour long show, there'd be like three commercial or four commercial breaks in it. And then the different networks would compete for nationwide programming. For instance, they'll pay boatloads of money to be able to host NFL games because those are the few things left in America that everybody will actually sit down and watch live anymore.
Yeah.
But back in the day, they were the ones that, you know, bought TV shows and put them on their schedules and that sort of thing. And then the commercial breaks. And then somewhere around, I think it was 87, that Fox came out and added to it. And it was kind of like one of these cute little stations until they got an NFL, they bought the NFL. And suddenly they became one of the big, that it suddenly went from the big three to the big four. Whoa, did I lose you guys? I think I lost you guys. I apologize, people, but for some reason, I have lost everybody on this thing. Let me see if we're... Maybe we lost our internet. It's possible. No odd. So
it was like £5 a month and stuff, and it was great.
You guys still there?
He's back again.
I lost everything out of Skype, and of course I'm the one streaming, so I had to switch it to just me for a second. I guess they're telling us something here.
Just to say, Sean, I think Drunken Yoda's all right, actually.
Yeah, I wasn't the one that said ugly.
I expected no less. One last chat. He's asking if we mentioned this already, but has anyone seen the Beatles doc on Disney? I think that just came out the other day. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I don't know if
I don't like the Beatles, so I'm not going to be seeing it.
I find it kind of a historical curiosity. I'm kind of interested in it more than anything.
I'm the same as Sean, not a Beatles fan. They're all right, don't get me wrong. I appreciate where their place in music is, and I know their songs and stuff, but I'm not a big enough fan to sit down and watch a documentary about them. I think it's probably because in the UK there's been a million documentaries on the bloody Beatles anyway. So, it's kind of like, oh, it's our biggest export. Yes, we have other things. No, it's just the Beatles.
Monty
Python.
What's his name there? Peter Jackson, wasn't he the one that did that even?
Yeah, he found bunch of footage that they had filmed for a concert that they were coming up with and an album that they were trying to cut. I don't know which one, but it's they've restored it and it looks like it's brand new. It looks like it could have been filmed yesterday.
I thought everything by the Beatles was owned by Michael. Oh no, he died, didn't he? Michael Jackson.
I think they're the rights to the music, like to reproduce the album, the music or something, like make it into a record or something like that.
Okay. Mm.
He's dead now though, so it doesn't matter.
Oh yeah, so I was gonna say somebody sold it somewhere.
I did watch F is for Family, it's a show with Bill Burr on Netflix, animated show. And I just love Bill Burr's brand of impotent rage. I just find it really hilarious. But the priest, they had a church episode or something. The priest said, well, you can't be dissing God. The Beatles said that they were bigger than Jesus, so God cursed them with Yoko Ono. I was like, that's fantastic.
That's a brilliant message to get out to people. I really think that really is.
That'd scare me straight. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Not Beatles
cursed
fans.
Us all with Yoko Ono. You could make an argument for that.
Yep.
Eggy Wags has said, not Beatles fans. Damn you, YouTube, for taking away the dislike button.
I didn't say I wasn't a Beatles fan. Don't drag me into this bullshit.
Can you dislike that comment?
No, I can't, unfortunately.
Like I say, it's not like I'm just not, I was never really into music. I did like music as such. I think there's a brilliant sketch in, I think it was American Dad, where the alien, Roger the alien, goes on a date with somebody. So she's really nervous and goes, so do you like music? And he goes, no, I'm the only person on this planet who doesn't like music. I obviously like music, and I like, I will listen to the Beatles, but I'm just not a massive fan of them like everybody else is. I'm assuming Eggy Wags is from the north of England somewhere, because he had a go at me the other day about Oasis. So I'm assuming he's from somewhere up that area of Manchester, Liverpool way, and dedicated to those fans, because they all come from there.
Oasis. You're talking about the fake world from Ready Player One?
No, I'm talking about the whole thing from I did the little article the other day about the Gorillaz movie, and Gorillaz was by Damon Albarn, and Damon Albarn was in Blur, and Blur and Oasis had this whole Britpop battle thing going on for an awfully long time.
I feel like I just played a game of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Speaking of musical documentaries, I watched a pretty good one that premiered on Showtime, I think, last week or the week before, about the Go-Go's. That was pretty, and I'm not a fan of them, but every once in a while, one of these things can be kind of interesting just because of the lore,
I think it's better than the, what do you call it, the dramatization of, like the Queen biopic and all these. They're all exactly the same, and I hate them all. They do nothing for me. I would rather watch the actual guys and the raw footage. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that a lot more than watching these actors try to pretend to be these people. Rocket Man, all the rest of them, the hell with it.
Eggy Works has just said, no, mate, Maidstone in Kent. I would admit to that. Anyway, before I get myself into too much trouble, it's like I'm the same with the dramatizations, because you just, like I say, the main protagonists are real and everything else is just made up. The whole, you know, they just got the text in the last minute, or they just, you know, and it's just like, no, that never happened. That never happened. Nothing like that ever happens in real life. Movies are not real life.
No, I agree. It's just not, I don't know, they're just not that interesting to me. So I am kind of wanting to watch this Beatles doc. It looks interesting, but yeah.
I probably will put it on at some point in time, but I'm still concentrating on my movies at the moment. I've only got less than, well, just over a month, and I've still got to get about 100 movies in. So I'm focusing on that at the moment.
Well, by God, we better let you get to it then, because we've been at this for an hour and 40 minutes now. So I think we've hit our time limit. Skype sure tried to kick us off.
Well, yeah, it was trying to block you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did.
It's your fault. We were still here.
Hey, look, I got a face for radio.
That was just the usual technical issues.
Yeah, we have to have one, don't we? I got everything right this time, and then the gods decided, nope.
Are you going to wrap up for us then, Yoda?
So wait a minute, what are we going to talk about next week? Is there a teaser for next week?
What's coming out next week? Is there anything interesting coming out? Let me take a look here real quick. Talk about yourselves.
It's going to be interesting over Christmas week, because Matrix is out and Spider-Man's out and Book of Boba Fett's out. And I mean, with Book of Boba Fett, I can't say I'm Boba Fett, just to annoy Eggie. Boba Fett.
When does Robert Fett come out?
Robert's his dad. Call him Bob.
That's my dad.
I thought your dad was
Django.
I will watch it, but I can't sound particularly excited about it at the moment. You know, it might be fantastic, but
I will break my swearing off of the MCU if it turns out that all three of the previous Spider-Mans are in the new Spider-Man movie. I'll have to actually see that.
Oh, they will be. They will be. Of course they will be. They're playing the games. There's no way they're not in it, because if they're not in it, pretty much every Marvel fanboy is going to go to California and burn Disney to the ground.
To be fair, I think at this point, in the new Spider-Man, it wouldn't surprise me if Batman and Godzilla turned up. It really wouldn't. You know, they've kind of promised
Bunny,
everybody.
What are
from
you
the
doing here?
You know, they have promised everybody from the MCU, in the entire MCU universe is going to be in it. So, yeah.
Carl Martin Kane from Citizen Kane. I'm here to fuck up a room.
Let me give you a little factoid that you might not know about Spider-Man 2, the Raimi one. It come out after, you remember the awful Thomas Jane Punisher movie from 2004? Yeah. That came out first, and then Spider-Man 2 comes out. And at the end, when Mary Jane is running away from her wedding, and you see her running through like a down the street, there's one scene, she runs by a water fountain, I think, and only one person turns around to look at her as she passes, and he's wearing all black, and it's Thomas Jane. And they snuck him in there as a little Punisher, a cameo. Yeah, if you watch it, you'll see that. But
the one thing that really annoyed me with cameos is, I would have loved to have seen at the end of Endgame, everything calmed down and everything else and whatnot, and there's the Avengers base and there's a few people in there, and Deadpool comes running in going, "I'm here to kick Thanos' ass," and Captain America goes, "That was like months ago. We've got it all sorted out." And you just see Deadpool go, "Oh," and it cuts to black.
That would have been pretty
perfect.
Good.
It would have been absolutely perfect finish to that movie. I mean, it's a shame.
I still don't understand why they didn't try at least some little cameo of the, you know, the Netflix, you know, Daredevil, Punisher. Yeah.
I hear that that's
a possibility.
No, I hear it's pretty much finished.
Oh, is it? No.
They're. I have heard that maybe Matt Murdock is in the Spider-Man movie.
Oh yeah, there's like a picture of him sitting there. That's without question on that one.
But I don't. But as far as canon, I think that's all in the dumpster now.
Yeah, I think they trashed it when they canceled them all.
They didn't really do a good job of.
They've done a DC on it.
Yeah, it was too. It was too gritty. It was too up its own butt half the time, and then it really didn't tie very well into the rest of the MCU. With a passing reference here and there. So, I mean, cutting it out. Plus, it was owned by Netflix, so now it's like, with the Disney Plus streaming, there's not much they can do about it. So they're saying, to hell with it.
Yeah. It's a shame, because they could have been.
You can see Netflix going, it's going to cost you, though. It's going to cost you.
Yeah, because they're not going to do anything else with it, but they're not going to turn it loose for nothing.
No,
they won't turn those streams loose. They'll keep it, but the characters, if they don't make anything after a certain amount of time, which I believe that may almost have already passed by now or will soon, then it'll just be an orphan property and it'll revert back to Disney and that'll be the end of it. So they'll just do their own thing with those characters.
Yeah, Disney is not going to make a Punisher movie. This is not going to happen.
Oh, no, I'd like to see a sweet little animation of them, of the Punisher. I think that'd be really cute.
Yeah.
Frank Castle is having a bad day. Kids! But he's going to find out.
Okay, Yoda, do you want to wrap up for us?
I'm a sick, sick man. Thank you very much for watching another episode of Outpost Frequencies. You can see us at our main website at lastmovieoutpost.com. You can reach me on Twitter at DrunkenYoda1, and you can reach NotGeorgeLucas at NotGeorgeLucas1. And, of course, our main Twitter is at MovieOutpost. We're also on Facebook /LastMovieOutpost. And if you got a little tidbit, a little something pretty impressive, a little news item, maybe you work on a movie set or something, you want to give it to somebody, you don't want too many people to see it, but you want to help a website kind of juice its numbers, well, then send it to us at contact.
If you want to pass
us,
it on to dozens of people.
You blew my rhythm. Contact us at lastmovieoutpost.com. That's right. We have tens of readers. So, we're actually doing well. The website's doing well. We've got thousands, but the YouTube site could use a little bit extra. So please smash that like button, subscribe, share these videos out if you like them. Help us out, and we will have more content coming in the new year. And we will continue to have these live streams every Sunday at noon Central Time, 6 o'clock UTC. How'd I do?
It was all right. You didn't mention WWE up, but well done.
I thought that's what you wanted me not to do.
I'm saying you didn't mention it. It was very good.
Well, there's no pleasing you.
It doesn't make you sound like it's such an old person when you don't say it. It's good.
I am such an old person.
We're all old. What are you? There's no hiding it.
There's no.
I can still pass.
Look at her.
I can still pass for 25.
I remember when the only Star Trek was the 1966 version. God damn it. No movies, no Generations, no Deep Space 12s, none of that crap.
Who's this Picard?
Screw that poncy little crap. The hell with him. And certainly the hell with this new shit.
Anyway.
I'm grumpy.
Thanks,
I'm old,
guys,
I'm
for joining
X.
Us. Yeah.
Three old men yell at the clouds. That's what you need to change the name of this to.
Right, we'll see everybody next week with an interesting topic or something.
I hope so. Take care, everyone. Thank you very much for watching.